Amen. Praise the Lord. Love the Spirit of God that I feel in here today. I didn't have to preach today, really. I've been fine not preaching. I like to let the Spirit do its thing. But here I am, so praise God. But I do believe I have a word for you today that God has given me. I've been meditating on this since before Christmas and really been studying it, and I got too much in here. I'm going to have to try and cut this down because, I mean, there's so much stuff God has given me on this particular topic. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Judges chapter 9, and we will be reading verses 50 through 54. Judges chapter 9, verses 50 through 54. As we were having our Sunday school class during the first service, we really had a session of just renewing our mind to the Word of God. And understanding that the Word of God is spirit and it is life. And that oftentimes that we gloss over the Word, we read it, but we don't fully comprehend it. Our mind automatically interprets as opposed to truly digesting and meditating on what the Word says. And we had a session of just confessing God's Word slowly and really soaking in just one verse. And as we did that, the power of God began to manifest and people were getting delivered and blessed just by the confessing of God's Word. We want to honor God's word even in this message. If you have the scripture text, say amen. Judges chapter 9, verse 50. Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city. And thither fled the men and women and all they of the city and shut it to them and gat them up to the tower, top of the tower. And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it and went hard into the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head and all to break his skull. Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor bearer, and said unto him, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through and he died. I want to read verse 51, because that will be the main verse I'll be taking my text from. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and gat them up to the top of the tower. Now, I can't just tell you the title of this message. The title of this message requires a setup. So you're going to have to help me with the title of this message, okay? There was a movie that came out in the 1980s. It was called The Predator. I'm sure you guys ever heard of that, with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And there's a very famous line in that movie where he's in the jungle and this alien creature is trying to get them, and he's yelling to a young woman to get to a helicopter that would give them an exit way out of the jungle from this creature that was basically preying on them. And that line was, and you guys probably know what that line is, get to the chopper! Get to the chopper! I want you to look at your neighbor and tell them, get to the tower. In your best Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, tell them, get to the tower. The title of my message is, get to the tower. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you right now for your spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that we can find safety and tranquility in you. And I pray in the name of Jesus that this word would make impact. God, that someone would be saved, that someone would be transformed into the image of Christ. We already have positioned ourselves to receive your word. We thank you for what you're doing. We give you all praise and glory. And in Jesus' name, let the Church of the Living God say, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about towers. This is something that kind of came up unexpectedly. I was studying a verse and began following some references, and the Lord began to deal with me on this issue of towers and what the purpose of towers are, particularly in the scriptures, that towers were built as a means of defense for a city. We see that throughout scripture, that towers were used as a means of defense. It was a lookout point. It was used as a fortress to launch attacks or defend from attacks. We find in 2 Chronicles 26:9 an example of this, that the king Uzziah, that he built towers. 2 Chronicles 26:9 says, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. But towers were not only used for means of defense from an invading army into a city, but towers were also used in vineyards. We find that in 2 Chronicles 26:10, the same chapter, in the next verse, in verse 10, it says that Uzziah, that he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. So towers were also used in vineyards. And in the vineyard, the tower would serve several functions. That if it was used to locate one's workers or children that were in the vineyard, if you want to find out where the workers were in the vineyard or where if your children were playing on your property, you'd go up in the tower and you'd get a high vantage point to kind of survey the land to locate your workers. That the tower was used to assess the status of the harvest. If you wanted to get an idea if your crop was ready to harvest, you would go into the tower and looking from that vantage point and look at the crops to get a good understanding if the tower, if the harvest was ready. The tower was used as a place to be protected when you rested from work. If you were out in the vineyard working late and you just needed to take a nap, but you didn't want any animals or creatures attacking you in your sleep, you'd go to the tower to find a place of safety and rest. The tower was also used as a place to store supplies for the vineyard. Instead of running back to your home, that it was used as a shelter to store your supplies that would help you in working and harvesting a crop. And finally, that also a tower was a place to spot thieves or intruders and to form a defense. If people were trying to come into your property and were trying to steal your crops, or if they were trying to attack your property or burglarize you, you could go to the tower as a means of defense and protection to launch a counterattack against an enemy. And the reason why this is so applicable and appropriate, I think, is because that the tower is also ascribed to our God. That our God is like a tower. We find in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 50, "Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. For he is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore." That all the attributes I describe regarding a tower in a vineyard or even in a city can be ascribed to our God. That if you want to assess the status of the harvest that's going on in this last day, and to assess also the status and to locate the workers that are helping you in this end time harvest, you've got to get inside of the tower of the Spirit of God to really be able to get a vantage point to see what's going on. Jesus said in Matthew 9, verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." If you want to find out who your workers are, who your co-laborers are in this vineyard, you've got to get inside of the Spirit of God, inside of God, who is that tower, to be able to get a good vantage point. You can't look and really see in the vineyard just by itself who might be an enemy or be a frenemy. You've got to get inside of the Spirit of God to discern which ones are wolves in sheep's clothing, and to be able to see which are trying to thief or steal from the harvest, and also to get an understanding of the harvest. That Jesus, when he saw people, he looked upon them with compassion. When we look at the vantage point of Christ and we see that guy that's cutting us off in traffic, instead of getting angry, wanting flipping them the bird, we want to instead pray for their soul, because until they know Christ, they're going to die lost. The tower gives you a good vantage point of understanding the situation and the circumstances. Again, the tower was used to store supplies. We find in Philippians 4:19 that, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." That Christ is our supply. Whenever we're working in this world as witnesses for Christ, that we can go to the tower and we can find the supplies and find the resources that we require to accomplish our objectives and our goals. The tower, again, was a place to work and also was a place to rest from work. We find in Psalms 4:8 that, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." That when trouble is coming my way, I can run to the tower of God and find sleep and find rest and peace and safety. Again, that the tower was a place to spot intruders and thieves and to mount a defense. We find in Psalm 61, verse 3, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." God is like a tower. Now, with some of that back information, I want to go now to the Judges chapter 8. Before we can really understand the main text that I chose, we have to get some background. In Judges chapter 8, verse 30, we find that Gideon, who has just been used by God to defeat the Midianites, has now settling down. He's making a family. And the children of Israel were getting relaxed. There was a time about 40 years of peace during this particular time period. And look what the Bible says about the children of Israel. Judges 8:30. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. And his concubine that was at Shechem, was in Shechem, she also bare him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulcher of Joash's father, in Ophrah of the Abizarites. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went to whoring after Balaam and made Baalberith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. So now that they have, in a time of peace, the children of Israel turned to this false god called Baalberith, and they have turned themselves to idolatry. Now, if we go to Judges chapter 9, the next chapter, with that as the background, Israel is in an idolatrous state. They're in a state that's not truly seeking after God. In Judges chapter 9, in verse 3, we get the story of Abimelech, who was mentioned in Judges chapter 8. Abimelech was a descendant of Gideon. He was one of his sons through this concubine in Shechem. And Abimelech wanted to become king and ruler over the nation of Israel. And so he goes to Shechem, which is where a lot of his relatives were. And he begins to try to convince them to basically choose him as king. Judges 9, verse 3. And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech. For they said, he is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baalberith, where Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. So the thing is this, that the way that they helped out Abimelech was that they got money from the treasury of this false god. They got, the Bible says, 70 pieces. Now that's a very significant number, which we're going to find out later. The fact of the matter is that whenever you're in an idolatrous state, that you will elect people that are wicked and evil into your life to dictate how you live your life. You'll start positioning people to guide your life and to make decisions in your life whenever you're in this idolatrous state. The Bible says in Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So they use this money from the treasury to hire basically an entourage for Abimelech. And look what Abimelech does with this entourage and this money that came from this false god. Judges chapter 9, verse 5. And he went unto his father's house of Ophrah and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. Notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, which was also Gideon, was left. For he hid himself, and all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. So they use this money to go and slaughter all of Abimelech's relatives who could possibly be competitors for becoming the rightful heir or ruler of the nation of Israel. And the fact of the matter is, whenever you are in an idolatrous state and you run with people that are not saved or in Christ, and you elect people to positions of power to speak in your life, they will use your resources to commit sinful and illicit acts. And they'll especially use those resources to eliminate any competitors that could be king over your life. Abimelech wanted to eliminate anything that would try to compete with his ability to rule the nation of Israel. And he slaughtered and he killed anyone that would compete for that position. And the enemy does the same thing, that the enemy is competing for position in your life. And so we have to be careful who we elect into a position in our lives and we yield ourselves to. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15 that love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. So here's the thing now. So now Abimelech and the nation of Israel, particularly the people of Shechem, they've got this alliance together. The people of Shechem did not seem to care that the money that they gave him to elect their candidate was useless to massacre this man's family. They did not care. But as the years went by, about 3 years went by, the Bible said that there was some unrest between Abimelech and with the men of Shechem. We find in Judges 9, verse 22, when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Now that word evil there, where it says that the Lord sent an evil spirit, is the Hebrew word ra, which can be translated evil, but can also mean disagreeable or malignant. Have you ever, you know, made a friend with somebody that you regretted later? You gave someone a position of power in your life or a position of dominion in your life, and you regret it later? And you thought they turned out not to be the person that you thought that they would be? And suddenly you start butting heads and having strife. And the fact of the matter is that when you're in sin and you make the devil your Lord, you start to find out things are not as good as you thought they would be. And the Lord will send a spirit of disagreement between you and the world. It's called a spirit of conviction. When the word of God begins to be preached, it begins to cause a divide and discord between you and the world. You might have elected this particular person in your life or this particular ideology or philosophy in your life. But the Lord is here to send a spirit of division between you and the world. He wants to divorce you in this ungodly marriage that you have with the world. And so there was disagreement that began to happen between the men of Shechem and with Abimelech. And the Bible says that the men of Shechem began to rebel against Abimelech. And when this rebellion occurred, Abimelech got upset and he attacked the men of Shechem. Judges 9:45. Now, don't forget now, I'm still talking about getting to the tower. I haven't digressed from my subject. You are wondering, what does this have to do with the tower? I'm getting there. Just wait. So, Judges 9, verse 45. It says, and Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was therein, and beat down the city, and sowed it with salt. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that they entered into an hold of the house of the god of Bereth, and it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. Now look at this. They were in a tower. They were in a place of safety where they could have been able to possibly withstand the attack of this enemy, Abimelech. But instead, they left the tower and they went to the house of their god where they thought there would be safety. Now look what occurs here. Verse 48. And Abimelech got him up to Mount Zaman, and he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bough from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder and said to the people that were with him, what ye have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done. And all the people likewise cut down every man his bough and followed Abimelech and put them to the hold and set the hold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died, also about 1,000 men and women. Let me tell you something. The enemy wants to get you to leave a tower of safety that's in God. He'll get you to try and make a covenant with a God. That's what the name of this God means. It means Lord of the Covenant. Baal Bereth means Lord of the Covenant. They made a deal with this God in electing Abimelech, and they thought, I'm going to go get a refund and go back to my God that's trying to help me out. And when they left the tower and they went to this particular house, Abimelech burned them alive. When you put your trust in something else in the tower of Jesus Christ, it will betray you. You can run into Trump Tower. It won't help you out. You can go to the Eiffel Tower. That won't do you any good either. You can go to all the tower. That's the Willis Tower in Chicago. It won't save you. But if you go to Jesus Christ, who is a strong tower, you'll find safety. They left the tower. They left the tower. Now, that brings me to my scripture text now. I said all that to say this. Judges chapter 9, verse 50. So after destroying Shechem, because these people, they left the tower, he then went to another city called Thebez, which was also in rebellion against Abimelech. Verse 50, Judges 9. Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and they of the city and shut it to them and got them up to the top of the tower. Now the thing is this. The word Thebez, which is the name of the city, means conspicuous brightness or an obvious brightness. They went to a tower of obvious brightness. brightness. And symbolically, this represents Christ. For in Proverbs 18, verse 10, it says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You go to a tower that has an obvious brightness. In John 8, 12, Jesus is described as being the light of the world. When you run into the name of Jesus, which is in a strong tower, a tower of obvious brightness, you can find safety and security. You've got to get to the tower. The accuser of the brethren may be coming after you because of the agreement and the covenant that you made with him. The devil's trying to destroy and kill and steal, but you've got to get to the tower. If you run to Jesus, you will find safety and security. Praise God. You've got to get to the tower. Now, verse 52. And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it and went hard under the door of the tower to burn it with fire. That Abimelech attempted to defeat the people of Thebez the same way that he defeated Shechem, by burning it down. But the thing is, he did not recognize that the people of Thebez were not in a house of another false god, but that they were in a stronghold, a tower. And you cannot attack a house the same way that you attack a tower. And because of that misunderstanding, that miscalculation, the people of Thebez had a military advantage that the people of Shechem did not have. Now, when the Bible says that the tower of Shechem, which was, or the tower of Thebez, was a strong tower, it's the same Hebrew words in describing the name of the Lord. The same words that describe this tower that was in Thebez is the same Hebrew word strong tower that describes the name of the Lord. And when you, could you get Proverbs 18:10 back on there just for a minute? I want you guys to see something here. In Proverbs 18:10, it says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now that word safe in the Hebrew is sagab, which can mean safe, but it primarily is translated exalted, inaccessibly high, or too high to be reached or captured. When you get in Jesus and you get in the tower, you get to a place where the enemy cannot reach you. It's not just it's safe, but it's exalted. It's a position of elevation to which the enemy cannot get you. Now, anyone knows that if you have the high ground, you have a tactical advantage against an enemy that is assaulting you. When you get in the name of Jesus, which is a strong tower, the enemy cannot reach you because that name is higher than any other name. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. It's an exalted position. That tower was an exalted position. The Bible says in Psalm 61, verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I'm in a warfare situation. I need to get to higher ground so that I can properly combat my enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Then it goes on to say in the next verse, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Hallelujah. Psalms 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. He's an elevated place. Quit trying to find Jesus in the lowly place. The God that we serve is exalted. The God that we serve sits upon the circle of the earth. The heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. Get in Jesus. I know we tell our young people not to do this, but y'all need to get high. Y'all need to get high on Jesus. Get in the name of Jesus and get into a position of elevation. For we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It makes you inaccessible to the enemy. Philippians 2:9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, or things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That name is above every other name. For as the Bible says in Acts 4:12, that neither neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You get into the name of Jesus, and you get the name of Jesus inside of you. That's why we baptize in Jesus' name, because we're running to a high tower where the enemy cannot reach me. I get to a place of elevation where the troubles of this life can't touch me. The enemy tries to depress me with bills and with troubles. He tries to bring me down into the mully grubs, into the miry and dirty clay with the problems of this life. But I just think about Jesus. I get connected to Jesus. I just call on the name of Jesus. And the Bible, as the song says, love lifted me. Love lifted me out of the miry clay. Put my feet on a rock to say the name of Jesus is a high tower. The Bible says in Psalm 91:10, there shall no evil befall thee. This one's for you, mama. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Let me just pause just for a minute. You can't step on something that you're below. You've got to be above it, and go. God has put you above so that you could step on the lion, so that you could trample on the adder, so you could stomp on the enemy's head. Verse 14, because, now look at this, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. That word there, high, in the Hebrew is the same word that's used for safe in Proverbs 18:10. I will set him on high. Why? Because he hath known my name. Because you know the name, that it is a strong tower. The Bible said that God will set you on high. When my mother got in that car accident 2 days ago, all she said was Jesus. And because she knew the name, the Lord Jesus set her on high, that the car could not destroy her. It may have destroyed her vehicle, but it did not come nigh her. The enemy could not touch her because she knows the name of the Lord. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. You need to tell your neighbor, get to the tower. Get to the tower. Get to the tower. Do whatever you can. You need to get to the tower. Get to the name of Jesus. Call on him. He's just as near as the mention of his name. Call on him when you're in sickness. Call on him when you're in a car accident. Call on him when the bills are due. Call on him when you get a bad report from the doctor. He's just as near as his name. Get to the tower. Psalm chapter 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. The name of Jesus defends us. Verse 2 says, send thee help from the sanctuary. Strengthen thee out of Zion. The name of God is a strong tower, a high tower. A high tower. Now I'm going to go back to my scripture text. Abimelech miscalculated. He tried to attack a house, a cellar, the same way you attack a tower. And because of that miscalculation, he paid for it. Verse 53, Judges 9. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. Now this just makes me so happy. Man, Abimelech was killed by a woman who simply recognized her position and what she had. The men of Shechem were in a tower, but they ran away to their false god. And because they did not recognize their position, they were destroyed with fire. But this woman, who's not a soldier, had no military background, just recognized, wait a minute, I'm in an elevated position. I have the advantage over my enemy. The thing is this, Abimelech thought he had them trapped. He said, look, now you got nowhere to hide, nowhere to run. I've got you. And the enemy thinks, oh, you run to the name of Jesus. I've got you now. You're trying to call on Jesus. I've got you now. You have no other helpers. And that's exactly where we want to be. We want to be in a position where nobody else can help us. No doctor can help us. No donation can help us. We're in a position where all we've got is the name of Jesus. And the enemy thinks, now I've got you. You've got no else to hide. You've got no else to call upon. Fool, don't you know I'm in an elevated position? The position I'm in, yes, it's a place of safety, but it's also a place I can launch a counterattack against you. You might be fighting an enemy right now that's got you surrounded on every hand, got you all messed up and thinking there's no help, thinking, okay, all you got is the name of Jesus. People have called on their gods in times of trouble and found no help. But I want to tell you that when you call on Jesus, that he is there. But my God is our refuge and our strength, a present help in the time of trouble. You better call on Jesus and get to the tower. All she did was recognize her position, where she was. And when she recognized her position, she found just something heavy, just something heavy that could be dropped. And that one weapon completely defeated the enemy and stopped an entire war. One woman who just recognized her position. When we recognize our position in Jesus Christ, when you recognize that you have the high ground. And that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to make you think that the name of Jesus is low. He has tried to sully the name of Jesus through scandal, through the Da Vinci Code and other things. He's tried to discredit the name of Jesus through all sorts of archaeology and all sorts of philosophies. And atheists have tried to bring the name of Jesus down. But it's been around for over 2,000 years and they still can't stop it. They still can't stop it. Me saying in the name of Jesus, be healed in the name of Jesus. Get up from your bed of sickness in the name of Jesus. Come out of your situation. He's tried everything to defame the name of Jesus, to say that Jesus was a copycat of another pagan god. He's tried everything to bring the name of Jesus down, but the name of Jesus cannot stay down. The name of Jesus is like a life preserver. You try and put it in the water, it just floats right back up to the top. You try and bring Jesus down, he always comes out on top because his name is too high. I want you to see something now. This woman, she killed the enemy by taking a stone and dropping it from the elevation, the position of the tower. Now, before I go into my next text, get Matthew 21, verse 42 on there just for a minute. Before I go to my next text, if you recall in the beginning of Judges, Abimelech killed everybody in his family on a stone. And the thing is, the very weapon that the enemy has formed against you to kill you is actually going to be used to kill him. Matthew 21, verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures that the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now look at this, verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, the stone shall fall. It grinds into powder. She just took a piece of the tower and spoke the word and dropped the word on the enemy, and it crushed the enemy's head to where he couldn't fight anymore. The same weapon that the enemy used to destroy your family, the same devices that the enemy used to destroy your life, God is going to reverse it back on them, reverse it back on Satan. The devil thought he had me, but Jesus was just setting him up for me being promoted. Jesus was just setting me up to get the victory. You better get to the tower. You better get to the tower. Jesus is coming back someday. The world is in a mess. We're living in the last days. You better get to the name of Jesus. Get to the tower and fight your enemy. Gotta get to the tower. You fight from the name of Jesus. Don't bring in the name of such and so and so. You use the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, I don't receive that. Start fighting from the position of elevation. They can't touch you when you're in the name of Jesus. Now, this just gets me even more. Back to my scripture text. I'm almost done. I'm trying to quit. I told you I put too much stuff in this message. Whew, man. Judges chapter 9, verse 54. Y'all getting something out of this? Judges 9, verse 54. Now, look at this. Now, Abimelech has just been given a death blow. Look what he says. Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor bearer, and said unto him, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. It was a shame to be killed by someone who had no military experience, had no background, and a woman of all people back in that day. He said, look, I don't want her to get the credit for beating me, so you kill me. You know what's funny, and you can do this yourself, in 2 Samuel 11, David references this story and says the woman killed him. Even though he tried to get away with it, the record still shows in the scripture that she was the one that beat him. And the fact of the matter is, it bothers the enemy that a nobody nothing like you could beat him. That a sinner wretch, a reject like you and me could beat him at his own game. It bothers him. But that's what the Bible says in Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I had no military experience, had no combat experience, was unqualified to deal with my adversary. But the Lord Jesus just put me in a position. You know, when you golf, they talk about using a handicap. God gave me a handicap. He gave me an advantage where I couldn't lose. You ever play a video game and use the cheat codes on it? I'm guilty. Use the video game and you use the code where you can't die. And you have, like, you know, maximum health, and you have all the resources and weapons that you need. And even though they're shooting you, they can't get you. That's basically what Jesus did for us. When we got saturated and covered by the blood of Jesus, it's an impenetrable defense that no matter what accusation that enemy says against you, it cannot get through that. You're invulnerable, and you've got all your supply that you need. Remember, I get my supply from the tower. I can't lose. It bothers the enemy. The enemy was humiliated. Abimelech was humiliated in this exchange. Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailing it to his cross. Jesus Christ took all of our shame, all of our inadequacies, all of our disappointments, all of our grief, all of our sorrows, and nailed it to the cross. And when he nailed it to the cross, verse 15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When it says spoil, that word literally means to strip butt naked. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, the Bible said that he stripped the enemy of everything that he had. And the Bible said he made a show of him openly, meaning that he basically stripped him butt naked and kicked him out in the street and had a parade and said, look what I did to this guy. Look what I did to this guy. He humiliated the enemy. And when we start operating from the position of the name of Jesus Christ, you bring humiliation to the enemy. He's got nothing on you. You just stay in the tower. Get to the tower. Get to the tower. Let's stand. I got to close. Don't fight using the name of your boss. That tower ain't too high. Don't fight using the tower of the president. He does have a tower, but it's not as high as the tower of Jesus Christ. What's interesting is the very first time the word tower appears in the Bible was the Tower of Babel. And the reason why they made the tower, if you read it, it says, and so that we can make ourselves a name. One of the other reasons why people build towers isn't just for defenses and other functionality, but they do it to get a reputation, to get recognition. Look how big my tower is. Look at me. My name's on the tower. I'm someone special. Look at this architectural marvel that I have created. It's why that the terrorists, they attacked the Twin Towers in New York. It was a model, a symbol of America's economic success. And they realized that if they did that, they could possibly tarnish the reputation of our great nation. The thing is, though, no matter how many airplanes crash into this tower, it ain't falling down. The tower that we have has a reputation. It has a reputation. You want to find someone with a reputation for intelligence, you might call an Einstein. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God, and he knows everything. He taught Einstein a few things. You want someone who has a good knowledge or has a reputation for making money. One day it's going to be my uncle, in Jesus' name. Speaking of that. Little joke between us. But anyway. Actually, not joke. I want him to be rich. I want the... Anyway, so move on. So, you might say like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates. But where Jesus lives, the streets that he lives on are paved with gold. His name has a recognition. It has a reputation. You know, when I was a kid, especially during the wintertime, when the snow plows had finished, at my church, we used to play a game called King of the Hill. Anyone ever played King of the Hill? The whole objective of the game is to try and stay on the hill. And everybody in the neighborhood is trying to get you off of that position of elevation. And despite what the enemy threw at Jesus, he could not get him off of that hill. For Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me." Jesus went to a hill called Calvary. And the enemy tried everything he could to make sure he couldn't get to that hill. He tried to say, you know, if you're really the Son of God, come off the cross, call down your legions of angels. If you're really the Son of God, prophesy and tell us who slapped you. He did everything he could to get him not, or to stop him from getting to that hill. But they couldn't stop him. And when he got on that hill and he was lifted up, there was no stopping him anymore. It's funny because when Jesus resurrected, and after he'd been seen alive, after many infallible proofs, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, when he left this earth, he went to a hill, a mountain actually, called the Mount of Olives, just again to demonstrate that he is high and lifted up. When Isaiah saw him in his glory in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the seraphim cried one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." If you want to find safety from the floodwaters that are trying to get in your life, you got to get to higher ground. And the highest ground I know is in the tower of Jesus Christ. If you have not gotten to the tower, if you've not been baptized in his name, if you've not had that name applied to your life, I offer you this opportunity to get to the tower. As pastor has done an excellent job in showing and demonstrating, we are living in the last days. Judgment is coming to this world. The Antichrist spirit is becoming all the more emboldened and is becoming all the more entrenched in our society, and is wreaking havoc in our world. And the only way you're going to be safe is if you get to the tower. Get to the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, they run into it. Notice the term that they were running. They weren't taking a leisurely stroll to get to the tower. They were running because they knew if they didn't get to that tower in time, that the enemy would destroy them. If you don't get to the tower of Jesus Christ, the enemy will destroy you. This is not a scare tactic. I'm just keeping it real. The people of Thebes were not, again, they were not just walking to the tower. They were running because Abimelech had already destroyed a city and burned people alive. There needs to be a desperation in people's hearts in recognizing that without Christ, we are nothing. And there is no hope apart from Christ. You need to get to the tower today. I open these altars. Come to Jesus. They're going to sing this song. I had them specifically select this song. That there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Perhaps you need to get to the tower not because you're in need of salvation, but you need to get to the tower because you're in need of deliverance. But in that tower, there is deliverance. Perhaps you need to get to the tower because financially you're in a hole. Again, the tower is where all the supplies were. Perhaps you need to get to the tower because you're trying to find your children, which are lost and have not found Christ. Get to the tower. Perhaps you're trying to find fellowship. You've been rejected and isolated maybe from other churches or other people. But it's in the tower that we find fellowship with one another. You need to get to the tower. Everything you need is found in the name of Jesus. I'm trying to quit. I could go on about this all day. Come to that tower. Put your faith in that name. It will not let you down. God bless you.